Idaho issues, Idaho questions, Idaho accountability. This is Capital Clarity Radio. And now your host, the Honorable Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, Janice McGeehan.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us again tonight, the live show of Capital Clarity Radio, a service provided to you by your Lieutenant Governor in an effort to make sure that your voice is being heard on issues that are relevant to the state of Idaho, what's happening here in Idaho, what's happening nationally, and how those things may have an impact on our state. So I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. I'm honored to hear from you this week. This evening we are going to, I'd like to remind the listeners to our point of contact at Facebook, Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, and on Twitter at Janice McGeehan. The issues we'll be talking about this evening are girls in sports, a small section on immigration, and the Small Arms Protection Act. And special guests that we have calling into the radio program this evening will be Representative Barb Ehart, who is the author of House Bill 500, and attorneys Alex Kincaid with Alex Kincaid Law Firm and Don Kilmer, both of whom helped draft the Small Arms Protection Act. So our first section this evening does relate to the women in sports, and we've been hearing a lot about this issue this past week as it's been in the news. It's garnered a lot of national attention because of what has happened in the state of South Dakota. What's relevant about this effort is that this movement actually started in the state of Idaho. And we have a special honor to have the author of that bill that's waiting online to take our call, and we're excited to hear from her. The bill, what this bill does is that it makes sure that biological men cannot be permitted to participate in women's sports. And this is so relevant today because right now there are so many young women in our state that have spent years and years training up in their high school to prepare them for a career in college. And we're planning on receiving scholarship support in order to further their educational effort. And some of these women are losing these scholarships. And it's such a relevant, important issue to the women in our state. And so with that, I would like, again, stating that this effort started right here in the state of Idaho. And with that, I would like to introduce, if she's on the line, Representative Barb Ehart. Welcome. Welcome to Capital Clarity Radio.
Oh, Lieutenant Governor McGeehan, thank you so much for having me. I am always happy to not only participate in our political conversations, but particularly this conversation. As you stated so clearly, this is important to me. It started here in Idaho, but as most people know, I spent the early part of my life as a Division I women's basketball player at Idaho State, right here in the state of Idaho. And then I spent 15 years coaching Division I women's basketball at four fantastic institutions. So I have seen this issue from so many different sides, and it is absolutely important to me. I had so many women who had gone before me in those early years who helped to set the stage for Title IX and who paved a path forward for me. And I absolutely have felt it my responsibility to continue to do the same for other young girls and women who follow.
Well, thank you so much for your effort, and you are most suitable to lead out on this cause because of your experience. Representative Ehart, can you give us kind of a review of the House Bill 500, where it started, where it's at now, and then perhaps some of your experience in helping some of the other states along this effort?
Oh, absolutely. So as people know, well, as many people know, this first was something I started to contemplate in the fall, even the spring, but the fall of 2018. And it really started because of listening to what was happening in Connecticut when, you know, we were hearing about first just one biological boy and then two biological boys taking the spots of those young women in Connecticut. And these biological boys, it's important that people understand, they weren't competing on the girls' side. They were on the boys' side. As a matter of fact, Lieutenant Governor, every biological male athlete that we know of today that has now identified as female played first on the male side. So they were comfortable. They played on the male side, and then they decided to identify as female and take our spots. And so as I was listening to this and knowing my background and actually realizing years before when people first started talking about the gender identity, I knew it would come to this one day, and sure enough, it did. And so I started working on this legislation, and, you know, I reached out to so many pro-family groups, and nobody had anything. There's no model legislation. You know, as we kept going, trying to find a path forward, I eventually reached out to Alliance Defending Freedom, and all they did was initially help me know there's a path forward with the legislature. One thing led to another, was working with our LSO, and I had gone back when somebody had helped me with something to see what Alliance Defending Freedom thought about the legislation, and that's where they got involved and decided that they were really going to help craft some really good legislation. So this has been a work in progress for well over 2.5 years, and so as it came forward last year, there was tremendous support. As a matter of fact, as you know, it passed along party lines. I think we had 2 dissenting Republican votes, so it was almost unanimous on the House side, and had pretty strong support on the Senate side. But most importantly, as you know, it was so strongly supported when we had the forces of the nation descending on Idaho saying, don't do it. It wasn't the right thing to do. But we had companies right here in Idaho, which is so hard to understand, that why wouldn't you want to support girls and women? I don't get it, especially when you look nationally at CEOs. 95% of the female CEOs participated in sports. And so, you know, luckily the governor saw the value of this, signed it, and now through the summer and through the fall, and certainly during this legislative session, I have been working with so many states as they've been reaching out. We have 30 states right now who have been running very similar legislation to Idaho's. We've used there's been a couple of adjustments made, but we've used it. I've testified a lot via Zoom on behalf of some of the panels that have been going forward in the states, and I've personally gone to Montana and South Dakota, ironically, to testify on behalf of their bills. So there's been a lot of work going into that, and certainly we can talk about South Dakota. But can I just say this, Lieutenant Governor? I don't know if people realize, but guess what happened today? It's so exciting. Today, we had another state join Idaho and Mississippi in this coalition that has been formed to, protect the opportunities for girls and women's sports. And that was Asia Hutchinson from Arkansas. He just signed this legislation. I mean, it's just sending chills up and down my spine. And we're going to see more states to join in. And we should still see Governor Noem, you know, really take the bull by the horn and do what she initially said she was going to do, and sign this legislation and show that she really does support girls and women in sports, and not cower to the left, not cower to Amazon and to the regents over there who are giving her some bad advice. Anyway, we can get into that if you want, but that's kind of where we are with this legislation.
Okay, Representative Ehart, thank you so much for your attention today and being on the show. I can't believe how fast the time goes by. I had a whole bunch of other questions to ask you, but we really have to about 45 seconds to wrap up. Is there anything else that Idaho can do to protect women, to protect their right to play in sports with other women? Is there anything else we can do?
I think that right now we're doing I think we're doing what we need to do, and that is I'm in major conversations with other states, other legislators, trying to help them forge that path forward, testifying wherever I can, lending my voice wherever I can. We have coalitions working on this. We're in contact, or have been. It's been a little bit, but with the NCAA, who also has shown their true colors. They don't value women. Okay. But anyway, we're yes, that's where
we are. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry to cut you off. I wish we had more time, and I'll invite you to come back onto the show after May 3rd when we have our day in court. So thank you so much, Representative Ehart, for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm taking your calls now regarding your Idaho questions and concerns. So call in now at 208-336-3700. If you don't want to call in but you've got something to say, go ahead and email me at janice.mcgeehan@lgo.idaho.gov. Or send me a message on Twitter and Facebook, and I'll try to get you there as well. Let's keep the dialogue open with you. When Capital Clarity returns, we will move on to our next segment.
Now back to Capital Clarity Radio with Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan.
Welcome back to Capital Clarity Radio. And remember, this is a dialogue between your Lieutenant Governor and we want to, anything that comes up throughout this show, I want to hear about it. So please call in with your questions or concerns on immigration. That's what we're going to talk about next and how it might relate to Idaho. And if there's anything specific that you want me to look into, I want to make sure your concerns are addressed. So again, call in at 208-336-3700. So this next section, we are going to talk about immigration and the crisis that is unfolding on our borders. It's alarming to see the number of people who are crossing our borders recently. Our borders are literally being overrun, and our Border Patrol agents are not able to keep up with what's happening down south. A couple weeks ago, we had a guest that came to Capital Clarity at the Capitol in person, and he was a person who was serving in the Texas Guard and worked with Homeland Security. And everything that we see happening there now are the things that he had to deal with. And it was very revealing to hear about the reality from a, you know, a personal experience. And so we hear from the president that he just recently issued a gag order to Border Patrol agents, which prohibited them from speaking to the press or allowing video in the facilities. Now, keep in mind, this was a president who promised to the people that he would be the most transparent president of all, but he's gone longer than any other president, over 100 years, in holding his first press conference. But President Biden issued a gag order to the Border Patrol agents, but somehow some agents were taken and they were leaked out of some of the facilities where these pictures of these kids, it's really atrocious, and these truly are cages that they're keeping these people in. Now for 4 years, our former president was bullied, literally bullied by the mainstream media and by Democrats over this very same issue. And here we are, within 3 months of this new administration, we are seeing this crisis in our country, the largest surge on our southern border in over 20 years. And another important thing about this is that the Biden administration secured $86.9 million to house illegal immigrants in hotel rooms, while our own members of the National Guard slept in parking garages on the floor of the Capitol, and our veterans are homeless on the streets. Veterans who stepped up and put their life at risk and willing to serve our country. We are not adequately taking care of the veterans in our country, and yet taxpayer dollars is being spent to the tune of $86.9 million to put these people up into the hotel rooms where, and I've heard reports where they're able to get room service and they're catered to, and it's so wrong what we see happening in our country. There is no integrity in the immigration policy, no integrity in our borders, and it's very simple. All the president would have to do is go back to the Trump policy of securing our borders and making sure that our laws are being followed. And if Congress wants to change the laws, then it's Congress's responsibility to change our immigration laws. And it should be a policy that directs attention to where it's needed. If we have a certain sector of our economy that we need to bring in additional workers to help in that sector, that's what we need to focus on. And it's a policy that will change over time because our economy changes. But the way it is right now, it's just wide open, and anybody can come in, and it's so hard for all of us who are law-abiding citizens to have confidence in our government. And there are a couple things that I'm going to go into a little more in detail next week at Capital Clarity, how this specifically might relate to the state of Idaho. There have been reports that suggest they might be bringing some of these people into the northern borders of states And then there's a couple of other bills that are Farm Worker Modernization Act, and then a bill that was printed in the Senate, the Idaho State Senate, about having to do with driver's license. So I think that we're about ready to go on a quick break. But again, I want to remind you all to please call in with your questions to 208-336-3700. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you back on the last section of the program today. Thank you so much.
Back to Capital Clarity Radio with Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan.
Welcome back to Capital Clarity Radio, and we're going to start this section off with bringing in a call from a caller, Lindsay in Boise. And Lindsay, are you on the line? You have a question?
Fortunately, Lindsay hung up there. Her call dropped. Go ahead, Lieutenant Gov.
Okay, well, Lindsay, call back. Well, the last section that we have to discuss today is on guns, and I'm going to be reading from our state constitution. The people have the right to keep and bear arms, which right shall not be abridged. That's what our constitution says. But unfortunately, the Democrats are using emotional situation to try to push through their liberal agenda of gun control and try to take away the rights of law-abiding citizens. So I'd like to start this whole section off with a clip from President Biden on banning assault rifles.
We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again. I got that done when I was a senator. It passed. It was law for the longest time. And it brought down these mass killings. We should do it again.
Well, this is a blatant power grab attempt by the president and by the Democrats in Congress, and it is a violation of our Second Amendment right. No matter what they try to do at the federal level, we will always fight to protect the Second Amendment rights of Idahoans. And our president does not get to do that on my watch. And so I'm going to be standing there, standing guard for your rights to keep and bear arms. Today we want to talk about the Small Arms Protection Act that is working its way through the legislature. It was put on halt when the legislature took a recess last week, but it's one of the most important bills that we can do right now in light of what is happening on a national level. And today we've been trying to get a sense from leadership in the legislature about why this bill is being stalled and is not so far. We've been unsuccessful at allowing this bill to receive a public hearing. And so far, the only thing I have heard from legislative leadership is that this bill is not necessary. I have not seen any dangerous language that's written in this bill. And I also would say that if there's a question of whether or not this is necessary, then let's just give the bill a hearing. It's that simple. And so today we have some special guests that are waiting online, Alex Kincaid with the Alex Kincaid Law Firm and Don Kilmer, both of whom helped draft the Small Arms Protection Act. And so I'd like to welcome both of them onto the radio program today. And Alex and Don, thank you so much for your efforts. Will you please talk to us and to the citizens of Idaho about this bill that you helped craft and explain to us why you believe this bill is so critical right now? So welcome, Alex and Don.
Thank you, Janice. And I know from both Don and I, we thank you for your stance on protecting our right to keep and bear arms in Idaho. And we really appreciate the opportunity to explain this bill today. You're absolutely right. This bill has stalled in the Idaho State House. There's no reason for it. Idahoans need this law to be passed. And one of the most frequent comments that I have heard in opposition to it is simply politicians saying, "We don't need it. Idaho already has that. We don't need it." That is an absolute falsehood. Don and I worked up an 11-page memorandum that has been circulated, and it's available to anyone who wants to read it, that explains each aspect of this bill and why it is, in fact, necessary for Idahoans. And I think, you know, he and I talked before the show. We both want to share some insight on this, but one of the ways that we wanted to start, if it's okay with you, is simply to state what is the law in Idaho currently, and how, and then Don can jump in and he's going to explain a little bit more about how this law is actually different. And so what Idaho has is what other states are just now starting to pass around the country. And Idaho has always been on the forefront of gun rights. We are the leader, one of the leaders, one of the great leaders in this country for protecting your right to keep and bear arms, and we absolutely don't want to lose that. And so what we did 10 years ago is what other states are just now implementing in these sanctuary laws. And we have a law in the books that says if you make a firearm in Idaho, and this is Idaho Code Section 183315A, and this is one of the statutes that some of the politicians are saying is good enough, okay? All it says is if you make a firearm in Idaho and you stamp it made in Idaho, then you don't have to comply with federal gun laws. That is not true. I have personally, as an attorney, been involved in cases where people have tried to follow this law, and the federal government will still come after you for violating federal law. So it's much like states legalizing marijuana, and the federal government still says, guess what? Marijuana is a controlled substance, so we don't care what your state law says. Your state agents may not prosecute you, but we can still do that. The other law that Idaho has currently is 183315B, and what that is it's a statement that says, you know, we're not going to use Idaho taxpayer dollars to help enforce a federal gun control law. We're not going to do it. And in fact, if you try to do it, we're going to fine you. And if you do it again, we're going to charge you with a misdemeanor. So that those two laws are what Idaho currently has. And in light of what we're facing, we don't believe it's good enough for one reason, because the Ninth Circuit has already poked holes in Idaho Code 183315A through a very similar law that was passed in Montana, and the Ninth Circuit said, you know what, we have Commerce Clause issues, this isn't going to protect you. So what we've been talking about, and by the way, I'm very thankful to call Don a friend and a colleague, and he's a constitutional law professor, for those of you who don't know him. I've been helping the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance for going on 10 years now. Don is a new face here. Please don't hold that he's from California against him. I want to mention that he was instrumental, and it was his firm in California that made ARs with bullet buttons legalized there. He's not the kind of Californian who thinks we should have muskets and hunting rifles. He firmly believes in enforcing all of our gun rights, and because he's been on the forefront in a state like California, we are very thankful to have his insight on how we can prevent California from coming to Idaho, even if it's by way of the federal government. We don't want those laws coming here. We don't want them alive in any way, shape, or form, and we want to get ahead of the game, and that's what House Bill 300 is all about. We called this the Small Arms Protection Act, but really we could call it the Idaho Constitution Protection Act. And the reason is that we are setting up a way to enforce the Idaho Constitution and challenge any federal gun laws, because what we're saying is that the Second Amendment is a floor. It's not a ceiling. It's the baseline protection. Idaho as a state can provide a much greater protection to its citizens, and that's what the citizens of Idaho want. And so I want Don to definitely talk about this because of his constitutional law background, but I also wanted to set the stage with what we have in Idaho and why it's not good enough, because we're hearing that over and over and over again, and it's absolutely not true.
Well, thank you so much for pointing that out, Alex, and thank you for your effort in this cause and for helping the state of Idaho have stronger laws. And welcome, Don. Thank you for joining us today on Capital Clarity Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for letting me help contribute to making Idaho a strong and constitutionally compliant place to live. You know, I've always wanted to live in the Intermountain West ever since I was a boy. And while my last place of residence was California, I'm actually hold on to your socks. I'm actually originally from Western New York, so. I was in the military myself. I was raised in a military family. Been around guns all my lives. I don't see them as a necessary evil. I see them as an actual good, as something that is important for citizens to have, so that they can protect themselves, protect their homes and families. Obviously, hunt. Obviously, target shoot, and hopefully, maintain this. This independence and self-reliance that is so much a part of the culture of the Intermountain West, states like Idaho and Utah and the eastern parts of Oregon and Washington and Montana. So thank you for having me on here. When Alex asked me to help her with potential legislation in Idaho, and we sat down and reviewed what Idaho currently has, what I kind of pointed out was that this is all well and good, what you currently have. I have no criticism of what you've already passed. Of course, part of the law, as Alex pointed out, was nullified by the Ninth Circuit in the Montana shooting sports case that talks about guns that are made and don't intend to leave Idaho or don't intend to leave Montana. The Ninth Circuit put that aside and said, no, firearms can still be regulated under federal law, even if they are wholly manufactured in a state and don't intend to leave the state. So our task before us when we started taking a look at how could we strengthen Idaho law was how could we become, if you pardon the term, proactive rather than defensive. Rather than saying what we won't do to cooperate with the federal government, what if we said something that we could do? And staring us in the face is the 10th Amendment, okay? It's the idea that the United States federal government exists solely based upon the consent of the people and of the states that make up the United States.
Don, I am so sorry to interrupt you. We have to take a break in 30 seconds, but I want to invite you to come back after the break. We've got a wrap-up session and for about 5 minutes. I'd like to, if you will, continue your description, but I really hate to interrupt right now. We just need to take a break, but please hang on the line and we'll be right back.
Now back to Capitol Clarity Radio with Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan.
Welcome back to Capital Clarity Radio, and Don Kilmer, thank you so much for your patience on the line. And you, before we took the break, you were beginning to talk to us about how the state of Idaho could be more proactive in dealing with this federal overreach. We only have a couple minutes left, Don, but I'd like to have you finish your thoughts and on what your effort is. So go ahead, Don.
I'll do my best to give you the elevator pitch. Okay. Yeah, the idea is that the Ninth and Tenth Amendment are statements in the U.S. Constitution are statements that the people have greater rights than are stated in the U.S. Constitution, and that states have powers to protect those rights. That's our Ninth and Tenth Amendment argument. But the fact is that there's a long history of the federal government running roughshod over states. Okay, this goes back, for instance, even as far back as the Fugitive Slave Acts in the late 1700s and early 1800s. And there were states like, for instance, Vermont, in the mid-1800s, before the Civil War, that defied the federal government on the Fugitive Slave Act, not by nullifying the laws, which, of course, we cannot do because of the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution. But what the state of Vermont did is it passed a law saying that its state governors and state lawyers and state attorneys general could not just refuse to implement federal law, but could actively go to court and challenge these laws and could assist people who were within the state of Vermont who were being impacted by these reprehensible federal laws. So that's part of the provision or part of the inspiration behind this HB 300, saying that our attorney general has to be proactive in fighting these laws. And we also basically lay the foundation for the idea that while the Second Amendment is a baseline protection for rights for everybody in the country, states are free, and so are the people, as embodied in the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, to enact greater rights than that exist at the baseline of the Constitution. That's the purpose of this bill, is to be proactive. Rather than just simply be defiant and tell the federal government we're not going to cooperate, we're saying that the Idaho Constitution can protect the rights of the citizens of Idaho to a greater degree than even the Second Amendment says so.
Well, that's just such a great description of what this bill does, and I hope those that are listening can understand the relevance and the importance of giving this bill a hearing. Don, thank you so much in pointing out the fact that we are sovereign states, and it's time for us as sovereign states to start standing up against this federal overreach. So thank you both to Alex and to Don for being here today to help us spread the education and the effort on the Small Arms Protection Act. And I'm going to put out a call to the listeners to please call your legislator and ask them respectfully to please give the Small Arms Protection Act a hearing when they come back into session on April the 6th. So I would like to address the question from Boise, Lindsay from Boise. She asked the question, how will immigration affect Idaho housing availability? Well, what it will happen is it will put even further pressure on the limited housing supply that we have all across the state. And so we need to be creative and find ways to help address that situation for our citizens and make sure that we take care of our citizens first and foremost. So that will be it for Capital Clarity this week. I thank you so much for tuning in, and please join me again next week as we will be discussing a range of important issues. We will continue the discussion on immigration, and I look forward to being back next week. Don't forget to follow me on social media on Twitter and on Facebook, and you can always email me at janice.mcgeehan@lgo.idaho.gov.
24/7, 365 a year.
670 KBOI.